Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the Defont LeRoy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, in westerly Rhode Island, this is episode 208 of the Por Favor, Manténgase Alejado de los podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny southwest Florida, joined by Mr. Klinsman up in westerly Rhode Island. Mr. Klinsman, good evening.
Good evening and happy four-year anniversary, Por Favor podcast.
Thank you, sir. Yes, same to you.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
4 years ago, we were on like a landline. We had to do AOL dial-up.
I was on Prodigy.
Oh, that's right. You were on the town of Chaska internet.
Correct.
Using your Prodigy, the free one. You wouldn't even do the AOL.
Right.
What was the other one? The first like free email. Was it like Juno? Juno.
Juno. Yeah. I mean, Prodigy. I had before I got AOL because they were like they competed.
That's right. I think AOL ended up winning that one.
Because they ended up having different services. So like AOL. Had more newspapers and this and that, and Prodigy had some, I don't know, sports or whatever, so...
Yeah. It's like all those people who went with HD DVD instead of Blu-ray.
Or
they really regret that decision.
Or Betamax over VHS.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a generational gap there, but...
Yeah, same difference.
Correct.
We're talking the same thing. And anyone who's, like, in their 20s listening to this has no idea what any of it is, including the AOL part.
Exactly. You've got mail.
Yeah, that's a foreign thing.
You know, it was funny because I listened to the old retro episode that you put up, episode 000 and 001. And I'll be honest, the content was good. It was just two goofballs talking Disney.
Yeah, the content has probably gotten worse since then.
Oh,
audio
I think
quality's a little better.
Yeah, the content was much better back then.
We had remember we used to do outlines every week?
Yes. Yeah, we used to mail each other outlines.
Like snail mail.
Right.
Not email. It would come in the post. Like every Wednesday, I'd be checking my mailbox furiously waiting for the for the letter from Por Favor Mike in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Handwritten outlines.
1A, 1B. It was beautiful.
Break here. Talk about this. Yeah, we gone downhill.
Uh-huh.
But it's been 4 years, but we keep going. We keep chugging along.
We keep going.
We're like Indiana basketball. We used to be great, a powerhouse. Now we just keep running through coaches. We're staying, you know, once in a while we have a good one.
15 and 15. We don't have losing records.
Yeah, right. Once in a while we make the Sweet 16, Elite 8 again, but it's not like it was.
No.
Final Four after Final Four.
It's just so hard to keep up excellence.
That's true. Very true. So what else is new down in the world of sunny southwest Florida? You've had some beautiful weather.
Oh, we've been setting records here in the Tampa Bay area. It was 89 for a high and 73 for a low, which actually set records for February, believe it or not. And here we are. You know, it's like almost like the middle. It was like, you know, February 17th, 18th. You would think if you were to set records, it would be toward the latter end of February, but...
Yeah, that's true.
No humidity. I mean, the sun's really strong, but it's just perfect.
Yeah, it sounds like it's great weather. When Por Favor Frank and Sue just got back, they said the weather was great.
Yeah, they didn't have any. You know, it doesn't rain this time of year. You might get a little quick shower here and there, but nothing.
Now, they said the parks were more crowded than they've ever seen it.
Interesting.
And they've gone, and this that wasn't a school vacation week, or maybe it was. Do a lot of schools in the South get the week of Mardi Gras off?
That I don't know.
I wonder if that's why, because there was Mardi Gras and all that. I know that's big in like New Orleans and stuff. I don't know if Southern schools get that week, because this is the school vacation week for the Northeast, President's Day week. And I wonder if that's why. Maybe that a lot of schools down south were off. But they said they basically couldn't ride anything. Everything was over a half hour, 40 minutes, unless they had a fast pass.
Wow.
They were at Animal Kingdom, and they said that the Tough to Be a Bug was a 70-minute wait. Mickey's PhilharMagic, they had to wait for the third show to get in. That's how many people were waiting for it. That's unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
But they still had a good time. They had some good filth, which I think we might get into a little bit, but... We don't want to talk too much Disney in this beginning part. You said you had a couple stories you wanted to share with the listening audience.
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago, I go in to get my free meal at Founders Club. I just come on my shift, and me and my partner, we overlap by 2 hours, so you got the morning people there from leaving at 2, and we get in around noon, so me and my partner go over and get lunch together.
Okay.
So I got the free spread, and then I went and I got a I got like a quart of soup. I put it in a to-go thing. And their soups are fantastic there, Bill. Just
yeah, you've talked so about good. It. You They're love so the soup. Good.
So chef's kind of bipolar. You never know what you're going to get. He might look at you and nod. Other times he'll say hi. And most of the time he just walks away from you. So he goes into the freezer and he's staring at my soup that's on the table. And you can just tell he's not happy. So he comes back out of the freezer. He goes, whose soup is that? And I should have just kept walking and just said, I don't know, chef. It was on the table when I got here. But I said, it's mine. He goes, you can't take a quart of soup out of here, for crying out loud. These are for the members. I don't mind if you come in and just get a cup of soup or a bowl of soup, but you can't be taking quarts out. Come on, what's wrong with you? I'm like, oh, Jesus. So I'm like, all right, I'm sorry, chef. It'll never happen again. So I go walking out with my partner. He's like, holy mackerel, that guy is pissed. So I go back, whatever. Like, I usually just would snack on it throughout the rest of the day, you know, work for a couple hours and then just grab my spoon and take a few bites and
right,
put the yeah. lid back on and go back to work. So next day, my partner Lou is a 70-year-old guy up from almost up in your neck of the woods up in Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
And he comes in. He usually goes first and then I go second. He goes, well, chef isn't happy with you. I go, how do you know? He goes, oh, he just gave it to me. He goes, I got a Wawa sandwich. I wasn't even eating any of his stuff. And I'm sitting at the end of the table, and he comes over and he points, you got to talk to your partner. He came in and tried to bring out a quart of soup, and he can't be doing this. And he's like, all right, chef, I'll talk to him when I see him, all right? I'm sorry, I'll talk to him when I see him. So the more people I talk to now, they've all heard. Poor Fawar Ray, I saw it today. He's like, yeah, he goes, I heard the chef is not happy with you, so... I mean, this has just gotten all around the club.
Both clubs you're at now, you're persona non grata.
Yes, exactly. We're not going to get into that other ordeal.
Yeah, we won't get into that.
We're going to keep that off live radio.
But this is starting to be a trend. I think you might be the common denominator here.
Yeah, bro. You could be right.
I mean, at some point, you kind of just realize what job you're working and you just try to take advantage of things, maybe.
It was funny because today I was out picking and Lou said that a couple new members came and they wanted to go hit balls. So he didn't want to give him a car because he wants to get the heck out of there. So he's like, yeah, he goes, you know, and the guy goes, where do we get balls? And he goes, I almost said, go see my partner up at the range and he can set you up. They're $5 a bucket. And I'm like, would that be the ultimate if I move some $5 baskets of balls at a private club? That would be the ultimate, wouldn't it?
That would be pretty bad.
I mean, that's about, that's as good as it gets right there.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Selling rounds of golf at a private club.
You probably make some good money doing that,
yeah,
though.
No kidding. All right, I got to get the dirtiness out of my head. You just get me back on track, Bill. I got all these thoughts coming to my mind.
So you got all the new equipment in the studio, right?
Billy, I got to take pictures once we get some of my memorabilia on the wall, but this is mint. I mean, I got a beautiful
new desk. New computer, new monitor.
File cabinet, bookshelf. The TV's literally sitting like 8 inches off the desk. 55-inch flat screen. I got a big monitor. All my it is tight. I mean, you're going to die when you come up here in a few months.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to seeing it, definitely.
It's the studio of studios.
Now, I think we should probably break some news here right now.
Okay.
Because if we save it for the end, I don't know if people tune out after the second break or if they stay through to the end. But we do. We're gonna go live. I guess it would be this week when you listen to this. So we're gonna try something different. A lot of times you hear us say, "Jürgen, we're live," but this time it might be completely accurate. We're gonna do a Facebook Live broadcast of the Por Favor podcast next week. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct.
Can we confirm that now here on episode 208, our 4-year anniversary?
We can confirm that,
and we'll do. Let's say Thursday, because that gives people time to listen to the current episode so they know about it.
So we're going to do Thursday, March 1st at 8 p.m.
Eastern, yes.
Eastern time on the Por Favor Facebook page.
Yeah, so go to facebook.com/Por Favor Podcast, like us there, follow us, and then you'll get the alert when we're live. It'll be me and Bill, and then hopefully anyone who joins in watching and on the chat, they can ask us questions, we'll answer it live, and we'll have a backup topic to talk about in case we don't get too much traction with that. But I'm sure we'll see a Willing and a Schaefer hanging out.
Absolutely.
And hopefully a few more. Maybe Por Favor Regano.
Yeah, maybe Por Favor Joe, although he doesn't watch the show, but he might come on. I'll ask him to come on.
Nonsense questions, yeah. So we'll see how that goes. And maybe it'll be something we do every couple months or a couple times a year or more often. If people really like it and we get some traction, we could do it more. But we'll start off and see how it goes. It'll be a trial balloon here. But yeah, March 1st, 8 o'clock Eastern. Go to Por Favor Podcast Facebook page, and we'll promote it before then, but definitely follow along there. Is there anything else you want to add here before I get into my unofficial beer sponsor of the week?
No, Mr. Klinsman, you have the honor. Please play away.
Thank you. This one is from the Breckenridge Brewing Company out of Colorado. This is the Vanilla Porter. It's one I've had before. It's been sitting in my fridge for a little while, one of my favorites, and I figure what better day than the four-year anniversary to bust out an old favorite. Like I said, it's a vanilla porter, and it is alcohol content. I don't see it on here. That's okay. We don't need to get into that, but it's very good. One of my favorites, like I said, smooth vanilla finish, nice porter, delicious, absolutely delicious. Actually, Schaefer asked on the Facebook page, because he listened to the old school episode that we put out. He asked when I introduced the unofficial beer sponsor of the week, and I couldn't remember. I said around episode 15 to 20, because it was pretty early on, but it wasn't right away. Do you have any recollection?
No. I thought it might have been a little later, but it could have been around 15 to 20.
Yeah, that's maybe I'll go back in the archive and scan through and listen and see when I hear it for some peace of mind anyway.
I think if you haven't started from triple zero, why don't you just go to start at triple zero and start listening to all the episodes, and you tell us where the unofficial beer sponsor was introduced.
That's true. We'll have Schaefer do the legwork.
Yeah, exactly. You're too busy for that crap.
That's a good point. Thank you for setting me straight.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that.
You're still a VIP in this podcast, Billy.
A cog in the machine. All right, I got nothing else here before our first break. You have anything you want
to
add?
No, let's go to break, Bill.
All right.
Hey, didn't you already get soup?
No, I didn't get it.
Why? What happened?
I made a mistake. All right, well, we'll see what happens to you.
Yeah, no, listen, George, I am quite certain I'm walking out of there with a bowl of soup.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you something. Is it just me, or do you find it unbearable to be around Jerry and that girl?
Oh, I know. It's awful.
I mean, why do they have to do that in front of people?
I don't know.
What is that with the schmoopy?
Schmoopy. Oh, I know.
I had to listen to a 5-minute discussion on which one is actually called schmoopy. I can't surprise they go to the movies with him tonight.
You know, we should say something.
You know, we absolutely should.
I mean, why does he do that? Doesn't he know what a huge turnoff that is?
I don't know. He can be so weird sometimes.
Yes.
You know, I still haven't figured him out.
No, me neither.
All right, shh. I gotta focus. I'm shifting the soup mode.
Oh, God.
Good afternoon. One large crab bisque to go. Red. Beautiful.
You're pushing your luck, little man.
Sorry. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey there. One mulligatawny, and, what is that right there? Is that lima bean?
Yes.
Never been a big fan. you know what? Has anyone ever told you look exactly like Al Pacino? You know, scent of a woman? Hoo-ah! Hoo-ah!
Very good. Very good. You know something? No soup for you! Come back 1 year!
All right, we're back from break. This is episode 208 of the Por Favor podcast. Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly. I'm Dr. Hurley down in sunny Southwest Florida. And we're going to talk about a couple things that I'm very passionate about, Billy. It's putting stuff into my stomach.
Mm-hmm. You are very passionate about that.
And walking around Epcot.
Oh, those are two good things.
Are those two great things or what?
And a lot of times they're not mutually exclusive. Walking around Epcot a lot of times involves putting things into your stomach,
exactly.
That's true. Although these are a little separate, correct?
Yes.
So you went up to the property to visit Por Favor Frank and Sue, what was it, Saturday?
Yep.
So just a few days ago. That would have been the 17th of February?
17, yep.
And very much, you went with Susie, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And And not to be, you didn't miss a meal, did you? You had the Por Favor Frank credit card was on the table.
Yes.
And ready to go. Why don't we start there? Because that's where you met them, correct?
That is correct.
All right. Tell the listening audience where you went.
We drove up to Disney Springs, and we went to Chef Art Smith's homecoming.
Wow. What a great place. This was your first time there, correct?
Yes, sir.
Just tell me. I want to hear it through your words, because when I experienced it for the first time, it was like a euphoric experience, like a out-of-body experience. Why don't you go into it a little bit?
Well, I loved the interior. I think it is a cool restaurant. It's just very laid back. It's just open windows. You're getting a lot of sun in there. It's just, I think it's a really, really cool restaurant.
See, that's interesting, because when we went, we had a late dinner, so it was dark. And okay. We were sitting against the windows, but we couldn't really tell how light it got in there. I still did like the vibe, but you're saying during the day you get a really bright and airy experience in the restaurant?
Yes.
That's good. And I'm sure, I mean, it's called the Florida Kitchen, so it has like the murals and everything. It's a nicely designed interior, very laid back. You don't feel like you need to be all dressed up fancy. You kind of can go just come as you are kind of place.
I mean, it has a good sized bar.
That's true, yep.
I mean, it was funny because on the way up, Kristen goes, I think I'm going to have a drink with your aunt. I said, you're not having an afternoon drink. Your ass, you're having an afternoon drink. So before the menus even came, Sue looked over at Por Favor Susie and said, so what are we going to have to drink today? And I just started shaking my head.
And they got all that moonshine, the moonshine bar there.
Yes.
So what did Susie
I think she went with one of the, I think she went, do you have the menu pulled up?
I do not, but I can make that happen.
Yeah, why don't you do that and forward it to me?
I can do that.
I wouldn't know what she had. I had a sip, and it was actually really good.
Yeah, I had one of their drinks when we went. I can't remember what it was. You got it pulled up there?
Yeah, I'm not seeing the drink, so.
I sent it on the second one, the lounge menu.
Oh, I gotcha. I'm not sure. I think it could have been the Moonshine Mash.
Moonshine Mash. Mm-hmm.
Watermelon-infused moonshine, fresh watermelon, lime juice, and simple syrup.
It sounds pretty good, actually. You liked it, though?
Yeah, if that's what it was. But regardless of whatever she had, it was pretty tasty.
See, when I went, I had the Sweet Tea Shine, which was sweet tea, fresh squeezed lemon, and moonshine. That was good. I liked that.
Yeah.
Once in a while, I like a cocktail.
A little cocktail.
But let's not really waste our time on the drinks, because the main star of this place is the food.
Yeah.
I heard through the grapevine that appetizers were skipped at this meal, correct?
Yes.
Por Favor Frank and Sue learned their lesson from the last time they were there.
Yep, and he just told us, he said that the entree is a lot. And he's like, if you guys want a nap, by all means, go with a nap, he said, but... And I just remembered all the food that you brought back. And I didn't want to have to bring back food. It would have been nice to have some the next day, but I wanted to really just be able to finish that plate and not be stuffed or feel like I have to eat anymore.
Yeah, I hear you. It's good. And the food's so good. I mean, the appetizers sound fantastic. Having been there and had the chicken, like, I would almost be willing to go, like, at lunchtime and just get a couple appetizers, maybe three appetizers, and split it amongst a couple people.
Mm-hmm.
And go that way, but the first time you go, how can you not get the main attraction? So why don't you talk about what you got?
Well, I got his signature. I got the Art's Fabulous Fried Chicken.
And signature dish. Buttermilk brined chicken, perfectly fried, served with mashed potatoes, a cheddar drop biscuit, and love.
And it's brined for 24 hours.
Yes, that's right. Now, you had it left over from the All-Star Music refrigerator. Now, this was fresh. What, like, you took that first bite. Tell me about it.
I don't want to be a cheerleader, because I've had some really good fried chicken on property. I think Hoop-Dee-Doo is great, and I also think that 50's Primetime is very good. A lot good of people go chicken, for the theming, but the food there is, I think, fantastic. And their chicken, is fantastic. But this, Billy, what I noticed is usually when you bite into fried chicken, you burn the roof of your mouth because it had just come out of the fryer and you're not sure how to time it.
Right, that's right.
And it was, you know, if you will, extra crispy the way that the Colonel Sanders does it.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't popcorn crunchy. It was a soft texture when you bite into it. You know what I mean?
Like, it was a perfect, like, I'm trying to remember back. It was perfect crunchiness, but it wasn't like it all falls apart and crumbles in your hand.
Yes.
And it also, like you said, sometimes, like you said, it comes out real hot and that's when it's its crispiest.
Right.
And then you burn your mouth. But mm-hmm. if it starts to cool, then the crust starts getting a little rubbery.
Mm-hmm.
But they have it good temperature. It comes out, you can actually eat the thing without burning your mouth, and it stays nice and crunchy.
And what I noticed, too, here were a couple features, is you can always season the crust. But usually when you bite into the chicken, it's, okay, it's just like chicken. It's like a barbecue chicken. But the chicken had such an explosive flavor to it.
That's right.
You know,
Yeah, you love the crust. Like, the best part of fried chicken is obviously the crust.
Yeah, but this could have even had no crust, and it just had so much flavor.
A ton of flavor, you're right. Now, what was your favorite piece? Are you a dark meat guy, a white meat guy?
I'm a white meat guy.
See, I am too, but I love the dark meat. I think the thigh was my favorite.
Okay, see, I still like the breast.
The breast. I mean, it was good. Don't get me wrong, but the thigh had the most, like, meat-to-crunch ratio. It was just perfect.
Meat-to-crunch ratio. I'm going to get a text from Devorney in about a week. It's just going to say meat-to-crunch ratio.
It's a good one. That should be a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to have to be a new, like, way we rate food.
Meat-to-crunch ratio.
Here's the meat-to-crunch ratio. It's so, you can't really oversell it, can you? This
no,
fried chicken?
No.
I don't consider myself a fried chicken connoisseur. But I know good food when I taste it. Like, I don't have to have tried every fried chicken in the world to know that this is pretty darn good.
And, you know, Frank brought up a good point. He said, notice how there's no bones in this either. I mean, you know, usually you're pulling out little pieces that you don't want to choke on. I mean, you know, yeah, it was bone and chicken, but you didn't have like 19 pieces of bones. I mean, when you were done, if you ate every piece of chicken, there was very little bones all over the plate.
That's right. Just like, you know, the leg bone a little bit from the thigh. But the breast, I think, was boneless. You're right.
And it was just... And the potatoes were perfect. They weren't... They had, like, cheddar mashed potatoes. And they were a little lumpy, but not too lumpy. And they were smooth, but not too smooth. I mean, it was just... I thought I could eat a plate of those potatoes. They were so good.
Potatoes were fantastic. But let's not forget that biscuit.
That biscuit's so good, too.
Every single thing on that plate was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad to hear that it lived up, because you want a place like that to be consistent. Because when people rave about it so much, saying how it's the best fried chicken they've ever had, best food you can get at Disney, if you go and they have an off day, you're going to be like, what the heck are these people talking about?
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like it was not an off day.
No.
And then I heard Susie got the one with the donut, right?
Yeah, Frank and I both got the signature, and then Susie and Susie got the one with the donut. And they weren't impressed with the dipping sauce. And I tried a piece, and I thought the dipping sauce was good, and I thought that donut was fantastic. It's not like a glazed donut that you're getting at Dunkin' Donuts. Nice, fresh donut.
Yeah, I didn't get to try it last time, the donut,
it was
but
good.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with anything there. I almost feel like you guys could have organized a little better and tried more things.
I think for your first time, though, you just want to try the go-to.
You want to get as much chicken as possible.
Mm-hmm. And I even had a piece of your mom's.
Yeah,
so I ended up having four pieces. Oh, you did?
I heard that story, yeah.
Well, let me hear your version, because she just asked me if I wanted it, and I said, yeah.
No, that was
that Oh,
was
I thought
story.
It may have been like I jumped over the table and like
no,
arm
no, no.
wrestled somebody.
No,
for it.
I had,
oh.
Frank said that I asked him how Art Smith was. He said it was good. We didn't get any appetizers, and we still couldn't finish everything. He said, except for Mike, he ate all his, and he had the last piece of your mother's. And then he said Susie might have taken home a piece or something.
Yeah, she did, and I let her have it. She told me I could bring it to work. I said, no, you finish it up.
So, yeah, he didn't throw you under the bus. He told the real story, I believe.
Now, Bill, I don't want to review this place, but take a look. I mean, look at that. Even that fried chicken sandwich just looks fantastic.
Yes, I agree with that.
And the dirt. Look at that. Look at the art dirter.
The art dirter.
Look at that thing. Look at those homemade.
That looks pretty good.
Look at those homemade chips.
How can you get a hamburger at that place, though? I mean, it does look good. I think when we went, Por Favor Mary had the fried chicken
sandwich. Yeah, she did.
Because she wasn't super hungry. And I had a few of those chips, and they were very good. The homemade chips mm-hmm. were very good.
I think how can somebody have that? Because I think if you're a local and you've been there four or five times, like next time I go, I might not get the chicken. I might get something different.
I'd try that catfish. That's calling my name.
And that's funny because Kristen's high school boyfriend was there, and his first night he was at Art Smith. He checked into Art Smith, and that's what he had. He had that catfish.
Oh, really?
Yes.
See, so that's the thing. I mean, if you go with Susie, you could get the fried chicken and the catfish, and you guys could split mm-hmm. it and have more than enough food. And then, I mean, you'll still get plenty of chicken, and then you always have the fried chicken to fall back on and then try something else and split it.
The big grouper sandwich sounds fantastic, too.
How about those shrimp and grits? Look at that picture. I know you don't like grits, but pull that picture up and just tell me you wouldn't get down on that.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
Isn't
Look
that
at
pretty?
That presentation, too. Yeah, it is pretty. Yeah.
Could go on and on talking about this place.
No, disclaimer. The chicken is checking in at $28, and a lot of people say, how can you spend $28 on chicken? But this is a one-credit sit-down, and it's well worth it, I think. I mean, you're going to walk out of there full, and you're going to walk out of there with a big old smile on your face.
I feel like 28's not out of
that's what I'm
the ordinary for three giant pieces with yep. all the potatoes that it comes with mm-hmm. and everything. It's not a small portion, mm-mm. is what I'm saying. Yeah, that's good. That the gravy on those potatoes were fantastic. I think the gravy on the mashed potatoes have like bacon or something in it, too.
Ah, it's so good.
Yeah, everything was good. Everything was very good there. I can't wait to go back. And I am going back, by the way.
This summer?
Yes, okay. I am going
I'm gonna
this summer.
I'm going to join you.
All right, you're welcome to join. I think it's going to be a lunch one day. Okay. I have a reservation. But I think this is a place now that I cannot skip.
Oh, this is like Frank's Grand Floridian Cafe.
Yeah, because everything on it is good, but there's something that even the pickiest eater is going to like. Like you said, you can get the burger and know you're going to get a good quality meal. You can get the chicken sandwich. I mean, who doesn't like fried chicken? There's not too many people that are going to turn their nose up at fried
mm-hmm.
chicken.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to be a little adventurous, you can get the catfish, you can get the shrimp and grits, you can get the grouper.
Yep.
You know, there's things for everybody on there. It's really even on the All Ears website, it's got an 8.8 out of 10 rating. I mean, you don't see ratings that high at these kind of places on this website. They're usually 7, 6, but 8.8, that's pretty high mm-hmm. praise.
Nah, this place is fantastic.
Can't say enough good things about it, really. Disney Springs is fantastic in general. I think, what did you say a couple weeks ago? It's like a foodie's nirvana or something like that.
Like, I told Kristen when we were walking around, I said, if we were a local, this would be our Mall of America, where mm-hmm. we'd probably come every couple weeks just to walk around.
Walk around, get a bite to eat, mm-hmm. try all the different restaurants.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really nice. It's got a lot of upscale shops, but I think Disney Springs really focuses on the locals. It wasn't tacky, but it was a place that people who vacation would spend a day and just go shopping. Well, you can get that typical shopping at any Disney amusement park. This is an oasis where you can just, you know, go and find different things.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff I would never buy. Like, some of the stores I don't even feel comfortable going into.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just because I would never even consider buying things from there.
Mm-hmm.
Like the name brand. There's like a Gucci store, right. Things like that. Or, you know, like that's not anything for me. But it's for some people. And I don't have a problem with it. And they still have the big World of Disney store. Uh-huh. They still have the Christmas store. They still have the Disney art store. So it's not like they eliminated all that to bring in high-end stuff only. So I have no problem with it. I skip over most of the shopping. I just look at the restaurants and then go to the Disney stores. But there's different ways to do it. That's enough for everybody there.
Hey, Bill, before we move on, take a look at the fried green tomatoes.
That's something I've never had. I need to try that. Oh! Look at that. Just filthy ham on top of it.
Look at that. That thing is gorgeous.
Like, what is it? 1, 2? That's like a whole tomato. Like 7, 8 slices fried up. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Does that look like a beautiful appetizer?
Now, listen to this scenario. You got Mr. Klinsman, you got Bill, we're sitting at the Shine Bar, having a couple Bud Lights, watching March Madness, and just ordering appetizer, 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 every game. All right, the noon games are kicked off. Let's get the fried green tomatoes and some of these thigh-high chicken biscuits. Have a few drinks, watch the games. All right, I'm a little hungry. Let's get some deviled eggs and some hush puppies.
So you think we could sit there, have like 15 to 18 beers, about 9 appetizers, and go stumbling out of there at 10 o'clock at night when the last game is over?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it would cost us about $900, but it might
be well worth it. I think it would be well. That would be a great way to spend the opening round of the tournament, don't you think?
Anything like that, yeah. But just the appetizers, man, they look so good.
Mm-hmm. And they do, you know, if you ever watched him, he was on Emeralds, Florida. I don't know if you watched that episode. We might be able to find it on YouTube. But he just talked about everything is fresh, everything is homegrown, all their poultry, all their beef, everything is from Florida, which I think makes it pretty cool.
Yeah, that is good.
Can we talk about our Smith maybe next week as well?
We can talk about it every week.
Every week, you just want to talk about it. Is that your favorite? Would you say that's your favorite one credit?
It's up there. Yeah, right now, it's what I would crave more than any other place anyway. Like, I like a lot of places there, but... Yeah, that's... If you gave me one place I could go to, one credit... Ooh. Yeah, you know what? That's a question for next week. Let me stew on that a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't
somebody
jump
ask,
the gun.
Somebody can ask that question next week, and Mr. Klinsman will answer it live.
Well, I'll answer it anyway. They don't have to ask. I just need to think about it. Yeah, it's good, though. Oh, it is so good. All right, you want to get away from this, or you just want to keep drooling over this menu for the next
time? Nah, let's
minutes?
Get away, because I was hungry coming in the studio anyway, so...
Yeah. Now, after Art Smith, did you head right over to Epcot Center?
No, we went back to Caribbean Beach.
Oh, okay. That's right, because you checked in at the Custom House, I believe.
Yeah, I was in the, you know where I was.
Yeah. How was that place? I heard it's just like a disaster area right now.
Oh, my God. It's the bathroom. The mudder was dirty. I mean,
really?
Nothing like the deluxe resorts. Oh, yeah. I mean, that would not be a go-to. Like, I seek out the beach club.
Right.
When I had breakfast.
For the mudroom.
Yeah, but this was dirt. It was so dated. And I'm telling you, man, it was like a mall bathroom. It was just, not that it was filthy because it was still Disney, but it's just.
Worn down.
It seems like they haven't done a damn thing to that place since they put it up in 89.
Yeah, well, that's why they're doing this major construction. Now, I was listening to another podcast. It could have been Pete Werner. I don't remember which one it was. Yeah, it was definitely him because he went on a rant about that place saying that Disney should be ashamed of themselves that they even keep it open right now and rent out rooms with the amount of construction they're doing there. Did you walk around
on the
property?
No, they just had to run back just to check on it on Magical Express or their flight or something. So.
Oh, right, because their flight got canceled
and
everything. So, I mean... The whole area where you go, like the quick serve is closed.
Yeah, it's like a military type of thing.
It's
like
a tent.
Yeah.
So, I guess when my parents were there, I didn't even ask them about this because they talked about it in the news. There was a night that they turned off the hot water in the whole hotel for like 8 hours.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty ridiculous, isn't it?
If I'm paying $150 a night and I can't take a warm shower, yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
I can't imagine. I mean, they should have just closed the damn place and done it quicker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of how I felt with Hollywood Studios. At this point, they're at the end of it. But I understand why they don't with a park, but with a hotel, I mean, is it worth it? The chances of someone having their first trip and staying at that place and be like, why would I ever come back and stay on property when
exactly.
I have to deal with this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if it's 20% of the people first time staying there at Disney and they choose this place... And they think that's the standard for it. It's just unacceptable.
I agree.
Anyway, let's move along to Epcot Center.
All right, so we got there, and we walked around for a little bit, and Frank talked me into getting a Bloody Mary with him.
Oh, did he have to twist your arm?
He did. And I forget which place it was, but it was right before you get into Canada.
Yeah, the refreshment port, I believe it's called. That's the place that has the cheddar cheese beer soup.
Yes. Yep, that was it. And it had, what did it have? Like, it had blue cheese olives.
Ooh.
Two chicken tenders, which is unique.
Oh, that's like a meal.
Yeah. Two chicken tenders, two blue cheese, big thing of celery, a tomato, a little plum tomato.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good, too.
It was a good, it, Now, how's it rank as far? Because you've had quite a few Bloody Marys at Disney at this point. Is it now, right, Frank, in the middle? Is up there?
I'll tell you, Frank said it was his favorite Bloody Mary.
Is it because of all the extra nonsense or the actual drink itself?
He said the drink itself because it had like a nice taste of celery when he drank it.
That's a good reason. I mean, you get a particular unique flavor, you're going
to
enjoy it.
Now, I've yet to have the one that he had over at Hollywood Brown Derby. I would still say that my favorite is over at Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah.
Well, I like Territory Lounge.
I have to say that one from Rainforest Cafe was fantastic.
Yeah, no, you rave about that one.
I mean, I'm not a Rainforest Cafe guy. Like, I think the food there is just average. But that Bloody Mary was good, very good. The Brown Derby one is good, though. I will say that. But the Rainforest Cafe one was a little better. Anyway, so besides the Bloody Mary, what else did you do? You were there for the Festival of the Arts, and that's the first time you've done that, correct?
Yes.
What'd you think of it?
Love it.
Where does it rank as far as Epcot festivals?
I don't know. That's, again, I'm gonna have to think about it. Ask me again next week.
All right. Yeah, this will be good.
Because Susie, when I was in line, took a picture. I told her I wanted a Pinocchio picture. I love Pinocchio.
Yes.
And my dad took me to see it when it was re-released when I was a kid. And I always wanted a Pinocchio stuffed animal. And it was always one of those hit or misses. Like, you could either, you saw it or you didn't see it.
Right.
And I remember my parents got me Jiminy Cricket, which you never see in Disney stores. So I have a Jiminy Cricket. I could never get a Pinocchio. So when we first moved here, we hadn't had DirecTV in our new place. So I hooked up the Blu-ray, and I bought Pinocchio, and I watched it over and over and over, and I love that movie. Because, like Susie says, he's a weasel like you. She said Pinocchio reminds her of me.
You see yourself in him.
Yeah, like we always joke, like she always goes, I'm going to school. I'm going to be an actor. And she's like, that was you. Like, you're going to school, and then the next thing you know, you and your buddies are going to breakfast. I'm going to school. I'm going for breakfast. So she found a picture and she brought over her smartphone. And I said, you know what? I got to get it. So when I was having a Bloody Mary with Frank, I said, I think I'm going to get a couple pictures. Like, you might as well. You just moved into a new house. You want to put some artwork up. So I got the Pinocchio picture. But they have so much cool stuff. I mean.
And most of it's Disney, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's some other stuff, but most of it's Disney related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a lot of, you know, original stuff, but it's a lot of, you know, prints that you can buy and just frame it. And, you know, the prints are like $40. They're already matted and you can frame them, but it's some really cool pieces. I posted on our page and I think I sent you a message, but they have some really nice pieces.
Yeah, the one that you bought is fantastic. And then the one you showed me the picture of, the one that was on wood, that one's great. I love that one.
I'm kind of kicking myself because I would I can probably find it again. That thing on wood was killer. And the Epcot print, like, they had one that was framed. It was huge. It was like, I want to say $900, which,
ooh,
that's a lot of money, but it's like, yeah, a centerpiece.
But you got the print instead.
Yeah, I got the print, yep.
Yeah, can't go wrong with
that.
And
I had him sign it. He was sitting outside signing, so he signed it. And it, like, looks so cool because it has, like, his name and, like, he put, like, 17 or 18.
It's 18 now, right?
But, yeah, it's just cool because I love art. I never liked art when I was a kid, but now, like, if you have a nice house, you don't want to put those pictures of the Providence skyline,
right,
in that $12 frame that, like, clicks on all sides. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thing basically that all of a sudden, like all my stuff is.
Yeah, it just falls right down after.
I still have stuff hanging in my walls with thumbtacks sticking out, so I guess I should.
Beautiful. Now, it's amazing what a good frame can do. I got a picture at, what was a place that closed in Rhode Island that everybody was up in arms about? It always smelled like mothballs.
Oh, Bernard's, Benny's.
Yeah, so I got like a Red Sox print after they won the World Series. It was it meant like that URI thing that you got for your dad, I think.
Yeah, I know the one.
All those cartoons
about,
yeah. So I got that thing for like $19.99. I spent another $150 getting it, putting in a picture frame, and it just looks so nice when you put it in a nice frame.
Right. Instead of going to Walmart and buying the $6.99 poster frame.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those things
crooked.
Those things always they always serve their purpose, but I remember like after about a year, like those things would just stop falling and you'd walk into your office and your print was just on the floor and start curling up and you'd have to try to get it again.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Yeah, but I like that. You like art too, don't you?
I like the Disney stuff, yeah. Certainly. Like, I'm not like a fine art connoisseur, but I like some of the prints they have.
Yeah, see, I don't like the abstracts. But if I gave you $5,000, you'd easily be able to spend that and redesign your studio, don't you think?
Yeah, I could do that pretty easily. I don't think I'd have much trouble, especially some of the prices they get for that stuff.
Yeah.
That store at Disney Springs, the Art of Disney place, I go in there, I could spend a half hour, an hour in there just looking at
everything,
the prints.
Cool. It's so awesome.
The original stuff on the wall is so fantastic. Like, the stuff that's done in oil that you can actually, like, see the strokes on it, I really like that. Like, the oil painting on canvas where you can see the texture of the paint because it's not a print. I guess that's the main thing is that, you know, rubes like us, we're just used to getting the prints, and it still looks nice, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But an original painting, you can, like, see the actual brush strokes and the actual work that went into it, and it makes it that much nicer. I'm not going to spend $2,800 on it, but I can appreciate it.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, I can understand it. There's certain things that I would never spend money on, but I can understand why somebody might want to spend $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 on nice original print.
You know, if $2,500 is to somebody, like someone that is very wealthy, $2,500 is like spending $300 to you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you would spend $300 on a nice piece of art. I mean, you did, and that makes sense. I get it. So someone who has that much more money and they say, oh, I'll spend, you know, $5,000. It's like spending $500-$600 for us. Still hurts, but it doesn't hurt that much. I mean, $5,000 on a piece of artwork, I'd be out on the streets, I think.
Yeah, no, I know.
Kind of like Scott Campbell.
Yes, yeah, I was just going to say that. I love that story, don't you?
That's a great story.
That's a great story. He likes his art, too. But this the guy who did that Epcot print that you love, he had so many cool prints of, like, Tomorrowland and this. And, I mean, I had to get out of there. It was like when I was a kid and I went to a baseball card shop.
Yeah, right, because, you know, at some point, if you don't get out, you're going to spend a lot more money.
Yep, and my dad used to have to pull me out because I was a drunken sailor. I need this. He's like, you don't need this. You want this.
Yeah, right.
But it was getting dangerous. There was so much that I wanted, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to get these two prints that are 40 a piece. I got the AP discount at one of the places, so I spent like $74. I'm like, all right, let's call it a night.
Oh, that's
it's like you got to treat it like when you go into a casino and just say, you know what? I'm going to lose $100. As soon as I lose $100, we're out of there.
Yeah, that's the way you do it. You know, you could set a limit because if you don't, like you said, you could spend a couple paychecks there pretty easy. So what else did you do at Epcot? Did you go on any attractions or just kind of walk around taking the
lines
sights?
Were ridiculous. I said, because your parents had a lot of time to kill because their flight got canceled.
Right.
So they were going to go to a park. And I said, you want to go to Epcot real quick? And they're like, yeah. So I said, maybe we can jump on Spaceship Earth real quick. It was 40 minutes. And that's a walk-on.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, all the lines. So, and I said, you know what? I really don't care. I just want to maybe grab something because we only ate like 15 minutes ago at Smith's.
Yeah, so you were hungry.
Yeah, I was hungry again. Yeah, exactly.
Did you eat something at one of the booths or
anything?
Yeah,
I did. I got that, Billy. I got that, what the heck did I get? I got the,
Did you get that, like, can of tuna fish?
No. No, what did I get? I got the, it was the seared scallops with the, chorizo.
Ooh.
Remember we had talked about that?
That's right. I do remember that.
I got that.
Was it good?
It was very good.
Very good, yeah. I heard the portion sizes are a little bigger at that.
It wasn't bad. Was it worth it? Probably not. It was like $6. It was one big scallop, and it was okay. But, you know, the thing with Food and Wine or whatever festival that you go into, it's like McDonald's. It's all pre-made.
Right.
So it's not to die for. Yeah, you get a little bite. Yeah, it's okay. But I think I've just been doing it for so long that it's like, eh.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you on that. There was nothing that really jumped out at us when we went through those menus.
Oh, yeah. There was like three or four things that were like, yeah, we'd like to try that.
But not like Food and Wine where there's stuff like, oh, I gotta try that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a few things like, oh, I would definitely try that. I'd probably like that. But nothing like that was crazy that needed to be consumed immediately. Yeah, sounds like it was good. So you just walked around, checked out the art, hung out World Showcase, I imagine.
Yep, yeah, just kind of walked around. And
that's good.
Got back.
Can't beat that. Like you said, having a beautiful meal and walking around Epcot and just taking in the sights.
Can't
get too much better than that.
Can't get a better day than that, Billy.
Not a single attraction, but you wouldn't trade anything, right?
Mm-mm.
Would it have been better if you got to go on Soarin' and wait in line for, you know, an hour and a half?
No.
I mean, I guess if you had a fast pass and you do it, that's great, but yeah, you don't need to do the attractions to have a good time at the parks.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Epcot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Magic Kingdom, you could walk around, but
it's not a whole lot. It's not the same.
It's not the same. Because, yeah, you know, People Mover, you got to do that. That's basically like walking around, though, doing the People Mover. But that can get a long line now. It's getting very popular, the People Mover. Anything else you want to add here? You want to head to our second break?
Let's go to our second break.
All right.
People need to know that in this beautiful, wonderful place called Walt Disney World, there's a beautiful place called Disney Springs. And at this gorgeous Florida spring with this beautiful Florida architecture, it's an oasis where they can come and they can taste the real Florida. They can taste the Florida, my Florida, that fried chicken Florida, that place where you can taste delicious, local, sustainable foods prepared with a lot of love and have a lot of fun too. I work a lot with sustainability and seafood and with Monterey Aquarium, the leaders in Seafood Watch and everything. And one of the best fish is catfish. And I love catfish. And I think it's really great. And I think more Americans should eat catfish. And we fry it perfectly delicious with cornmeal that's from North Florida. It's really great. But plus, we also have, also wild Gulf shrimp, which I think is the only shrimp you should eat. And you know what? I grew up in inland Florida, and we raise beef. And guess what? We're going to have Florida beef. To think that once upon a time, I made a cake and I got a dinner on a big ship over there, the Empress Lily, God bless her. And that cake, who would ever thought that a cast member would come back and open a restaurant? That truly is magic. And I'm grateful that the people here at Disney, I'm grateful that Florida has been very supportive of my work, that we're able to create a taste of Florida, a place where people can not only taste it, but they can feel it.
All right, we're back from break. This is episode 208 of the Por Favor podcast. We talked a little bit of Art Smith's and my excursion in Epcot.
Yeah, sounds like you had an excellent day for a little half day up on property.
Isn't that fantastic? The week before, we hung out at the pool and went in the hot tub, and then this week, we went up for lunch at Art Smith's and hung out at Epcot. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, can't beat that. You're loving the Florida life.
Yes, sir.
So maybe we should talk a little bit more about our live broadcast next week.
Yeah, okay. What do you want to talk about?
I'll just remind people that we're doing it March 1st, 8 p.m. Eastern. Go to facebook.com/Por Favor Podcast and we'll have our first ever, and hopefully it's successful, first ever live podcast recording. We better have a topic because we can't just vamp for like 20 minutes before we start recording.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually live.
No, we'll have something to talk about.
Have the unofficial beer sponsor. I have to actually wear a shirt during this one. I can't just go down with no pants on and scratching myself the whole time, I guess. That might be frowned upon.
Oh, you just go complete. I didn't know that you went Cousin Eddie in the studio.
Yeah, I just wear the robe, open up. I just got the tighty whiteys on, the cigar hanging out of my mouth.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what we should do?
Painting a picture.
What's that? We should wear suits.
I'm not wearing a suit. I'm sorry.
If I wear a suit, will you just die?
That would be pretty funny.
That would be funny, wouldn't it?
Especially if the camera doesn't work after all that. You wear a suit, you get on there. I can't get the damn thing to work.
Oh, that would be the best.
A suit. Yeah, go ahead. Wear a suit.
Yeah, but come locked and loaded. Like, any questions? You want us to review anything?
Yeah, I don't think we'll be too picky because, you know, I don't expect to have thousands of people tuning in. I hope so, but I don't expect it. Hopefully we get a few people over the course of the show that check us out and can chime in on things. Could be fun. We had good success with the Facebook Live at the parks, but there's a little more appeal to being at the parks and watching two goobers talk to each other.
That's true.
So hopefully it goes well. I'm looking forward to it. You want to bring us home here, Billy?
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Por Favor Podcast. You can email the show, info@PorFavorPodcast. You can email me, Mike@PorFavorPodcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Por Favor Podcast. Also find our YouTube channel at Por Favor Podcast, Mr. Klinsman.
You can email me, Gary@PorFavorPodcast.com.
Yeah, the other day I got a notification that my mailbox was full, so I had to go in and delete a lot of the mail.
What is it, all like Twitter stuff?
A lot of that. I get a lot of the notifications, yeah. So.
A lot of notifications, yeah.
All right.
That's good.
All right, thanks for listening to episode 208 of the Por Favor Mantengase. Podcast from Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, Rhode Island. I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.